Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We want to thank our friends at Virbac for sponsoring this wonderful episode because we have a lot to chat about, and it's kind of one of the most important and most overlooked challenges in veterinary practice, keeping our dogs and cats moving comfortably as they age. It's something every pet parent worries about and every veterinary professional encounters, and we're here to talk about why practical or proactive mobility care matters and what we can do about it. And joining us is our wonderful friend and colleague, Dr. Kara Emstutz, in the house. How are you, Dr. Kara?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. We're excited to learn more about this and a little bit more information about our wonderful friend, Dr. Emstutz. She's Director of Clinical Education at the Canine Rehabilitation Institute. We're going to explore what it really takes to keep pets moving from joint health to muscle health and why a comprehensive multimodal approach to mobility is changing the way veterinarians care for their patients. From the science behind mobility to real-world strategies, you can certainly implement what we're going to chat about. So let's get into it. So let's kind of back up a little bit and kind of do an overarching question here. You know, why is keeping pets moving one of the most important things veterinarians can help champion for their patients?
That is such a great question. And what I'll also say is that I am a clinician. I own and operate a small animal rehab, pain, and mobility specialty practice. So this is something I deal with on a day-to-day basis, and I think it's so vital to patient care. And it goes top to bottom, from general practitioners all the way to specialty practices. So why is it so important that we care about how patients keep moving? Well, because movement is directly correlated with the patient's quality of life and the duration of their life. If the patient can't get up and go outside to go to the bathroom or be able to get up and get its food, that is going to really, really affect how it goes about its days and how many days he has left. So it's the health span is directly tied to the ability to move comfortably and enjoy life. But also mobility impacts more than just joints, right? You know, when we think of a patient having a mobility issue, we automatically assume that it's arthritis. And I can tell you that while arthritis is very, very common amongst our patients, especially the cohort of patients I see, it's not always arthritis. Sometimes patients just have trouble with mobility because they have weakness or they've got a muscle injury. And so we need to think beyond just the joint. And when a pet starts to have trouble with their mobility, it sets off this domino effect of health concerns. You know, pets who lose muscle mass start to have trouble with their immunity, their ability to heal wounds, their ability to maintain body temperature and have normal respirations. I mean, the muscles are super important beyond just mobility, but we've also seen that pets who start to lose muscle mass also start to have trouble with their cognition. And this is just a huge problem that has been around that we've unfortunately not been paying much attention to, and we need to start.
There is a clinic here in town that has one of those billboard signs, and it's always like some marketing thing. And the one that they have this month is "Mobility Matters, Ask Us Why." And I thought that was really cool and important because it's kind of keeping things top of mind, you know, talking about the importance of movement in our pets. I thought that was really cool. I love that.
I agree. I totally agree. I love practice.
Okay. You know, and sometimes it's more than just asking the pet parent questions like, is your dog limping? And what are some of the more important things that a veterinary team can do during each exam to ensure they're catching mobility or issues earlier?
Well, I think, first of all, knowing that many pet owners have trouble identifying if their pet is limping, first off, I mean, that we can't always assume that the pet owner is going to realize. Right. So we need to ask other questions like, is your pet having trouble doing something that he was able to do 6 months ago, such as getting up from lying down on the floor or being able to go up the stairs or getting in and out of the car or up and down off furniture? So we need to give them very specific examples of ways that pets may start to have trouble with their mobility. And then another really important thing, and this is something I've learned just with being within the rehabilitation and sports medicine world, is really thinking about asking the client what their dog's job is. You know, that job may be protect the living room at all costs from the UPS guy, or it could be they have a job working on a farm, or they compete in sports, or they are a working dog that is in a in a setting like a police force or even a military dog. So there's our patients have such a wide variety of things that they do day in and day out, and they put a lot of different types of stress on their bodies. And we need to do a better job of finding out what that is, because these clients are doing all kinds of fun and crazy things with their dogs, like agility and flyball competitions. And if we don't ask, we're going to miss that as an opportunity to have discussions about how those dogs may be at a little bit bigger risk of having problems because of what they're putting their bodies through. The other thing, oh, excuse me.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the other thing is, besides asking questions, we need to do a really good job of observing our patients, not just having them, be up on the table. We walk in, do the quick exam, vaccinate the patient, talk about all the things that a general practitioner has to talk about, right? In a short amount of time. But if we can just slow it down just a smidge and just watch how the patient's moving around the exam room and kind of paying attention to their posture, and if they're, shifting their weight off of a limb or up to the front limbs, or even how they do with like going from a down to a stand, really paying attention to how they are moving with even within your exam room can unlock a lot of clues that I think we're missing if we're not focusing in on that.
Yeah, I love that. And are there any tools outside of that? I know there's the Canine Brief Pain Index or other assessments that we can utilize while having them in the exam room with us.
Yes, I use the CBPI on my patients at their first appointment, as well as any follow-up. So it's really it what that does is it gives us the client's perspective of, are their pets in pain, and how is that pain affecting their daily mobility? How much does that pain interfere with their lives? And then it also asks the client to provide, what do you think your pet's quality of life is? And sometimes clients have trouble answering that. They're like, I don't know. I'm not sure. But what it does is it opens up the conversation that you would not have had if you didn't just point blank ask them what they think. And then the other thing that I use, the other tool that I use, is the DSHA scoring. So any patient that's 8 years or older, I just automatically have my clients fill that out. And that's looking at cognition and for signs of early cognitive dysfunction. And again, it's a tool to help the client, one, identify maybe there's an issue, but also start thinking about it. Oh, okay, these are the things that I need to start watching as my pet ages, that if there's a problem, I need to let my veterinarian know that I'm seeing these issues now. What can we do?
And I'm also a big fan of having pet parents videotape it, or sometimes you can see it at like the home monitors or any of those things, activity monitors, because they'll say one thing and it might be hard to describe it, but I'll always encourage them to see if you can take some video of maybe an abnormal gait or a behavior that might be different to them. I think that speaks volumes too, right?
I totally agree. I think that having home videos is absolutely great, as long as the videos are done correctly, like the video's not like looking at the dog's back. So I think that we need to give some guidance to our clients about like how to take appropriate videos, get down at the dog's level, watch the dog go side to side, and then away and towards you. And that will help you be able to really look at how the patient's moving. And I love slow-mo videos. That every video I take, and I record every patient at their initial and follow-up visit, it's always in slow-mo so that I can pay attention to each limb independently and then kind of whole dog. So videos are amazing tools.
Yeah, love it. All right, let's pivot a little bit and talk about sarcopenia because I don't think we talk a lot about it. At least on this podcast, we haven't really covered this, and it is a big part of mobility and their aging pets. And why should veterinarians pay as much attention to muscle health as they do to joint health when thinking about mobility?
Right. So, sarcopenia, the definition of that is muscle loss in the absence of disease. And it's secondary to the changes in muscle metabolism that happens as pets age, as we age. And, the ability for a pet to create new muscle, there's got to be different types of stimulus. like appropriate protein, appropriate exercise, good, normal, healthy hormone regulation. And sometimes, as pets age, some of those things fall away, right? And then also, the muscle's metabolism just isn't quite as reactive as it was when that pet was younger. So it's just a natural age-related thing that happens, but we miss it because a lot of these pets, as they get older, are also a little overweight. And so we look at the dog body size, and what's really happened is the dog has lost muscle and fat has taken the place of that muscle. So over time, that leads to the pet having reduced strength, reduced endurance. And again, the muscles are so important to act as a support for the whole body. So these pets also start to have weakened immune system. They have metabolic alterations. They have reduced cognition, and that's what makes them more frail and unfortunately increases the risk of morbidity and mortality. So it is super important for us to identify it, and if we find that, then intervene on our patient's behalf.
Yeah, and we even see it in people too. As we get older, our elderly a little more susceptible to falling and whatnot because the muscle mass may not be there. So it's just such an important topic to consider when we're looking at, the multimodal approach, if you will, of treating our patients. And speaking of multimodal, let's talk a little bit more about that. So when it comes to keeping dogs and cats mobile, why is a multimodal approach so critical, and what does that look like in general practice?
Yeah, this is what I do on a day in and day out basis. And I think the thing that we all wish is that there was just one magical easy button we could push. But a mobility issue in our patients is complex. So a complex issue, there is not going to be a one single simple answer, right? And I think that's first thing. We need to educate our clients and let them understand that we have to look at this issue from multiple angles, and we have to kind of attack it from multiple angles. It's not just one special diet, or this exercise will solve all your problems, or this supplement will fix it all. It's a combination of things. And that's realistic, right? I mean, we all wish there was some magical tool for us, right? To be healthy and stay young and be in shape. No, we have to do all the things to make it happen. So that's the first thing, making sure that we educate our clients that it's not just a simple one answer, but also remind them that there are some big pillars that we want to hit. So, pain management is always the first thing that I talk to my clients about, because if a pet is in pain and there's inflammation happening, that's going to get in the way of appropriate tissue healing, appropriate muscle metabolism, and also, I mean, just the pet's willingness to do whatever it is that we're asking them to do. You wouldn't want to go out and exercise if you were in a lot of pain. You would want that taken care of before you move forward with some sort of an exercise plan. The other thing to talk about is nutrition, and that is a big piece of this. When I talk to my clients, the big things that I focus on are calorie control, making sure that we're, staying within a calorie guideline that's going to help optimize this patient's lean body mass. Obesity is a huge driving factor for mobility issues in pets and, whole body inflammation. And so if we can get these pets back to a lean body mass, then that's going to help them in all ways. So we talk about calorie restriction, and we talk about protein. That is something that is becoming more and more evident within my specialty. I just attended a specialty conference this past weekend, and we had a whole lecture on how important it is for protein in our senior pets. So that is something that we often under supplement or under prescribe protein in our senior pets, and that is something that we need to pay attention to. And then there's also things like appropriate exercise. There's all kinds of studies in humans, and we have this in lab animals too. And I would love to have the study in canines, but studies that show that there's kind of this sweet spot in exercise intensity in our patients. And what it shows us is exercise, if you don't do enough exercise, if you have osteoarthritis, it progresses fast. If you do too much exercise, it can cause it to progress faster. But there's this sweet spot of low to moderate intensity exercise. Regular exercise helps to modulate osteoarthritis and resistance training. So doing exercises, simple little weight-bearing exercises in dogs helps to build strength in our patients. So that plus, all the things that we talk about already, things like making sure you have non-slip surfaces for your pets, making sure if they need a little assistance going up and down the stairs, you use things like a help them up harness or you get dog ramps. Making sure they have good access to food and water, and it's not like it's hard for them to get to their food and water bowls. So things like that are, I know it's a lot, but it's important information that we have to talk to them about, because if they don't hear it from us, who are they going to hear it from?
Right. We do this thing at night, by the way, speaking of for our senior pets, where because Connor's our senior boy, he's almost 15, and you don't realize this, to those listening, that it is a lot of effort, to your point, to go down the ramp to get a drink of water. So we call it magic water at night. And so we get fresh water and we hand deliver it to Connor on the couch, and he loves it like the king that he is.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. And
Yeah, he's
good for you
earned.
for realizing he needs that little extra help, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because you can literally see it in your pets too, as if like they look, he's like, oh gosh, that is so far, but I am thirsty. I was like, we
Right.
got you. We got you, Connor.
Right. And I mean, hydration is super important, especially in an
Yes.
older pet that may have, smoldering renal issues or, any of those things that we worry about in our older patients. So you're a good dad. You're a good pet
Oh,
dad.
thank you. Thank you very much. No, thank you. This is a great conversation. I love this. Another big topic that we talk about in practice is joint support, and throwing that in the mobility equation. So, how does joint health factor into the bigger mobility picture? And what are you looking for when selecting a joint supplement for your canine patients?
Right. So, in addition to the pain management and the dietary and the appropriate exercise, what I tell my clients is we got to support the dog's tissues, right? And that's typically when I talk about how the joint is an organ. We used to always say arthritis is just degradation of the cartilage, but we know now that it's really so much more complex than that, that it involves the synovium and the synovial fluid and proprioception and the muscle strength and the tendons and ligaments. And so when I think about protecting my patient's mobility and protecting their tissues, I want to prescribe a supplement that will kind of hit it from all angles. And the biggies that I look at are omega-3 fatty acids. That's a really important supplement. We know that that helps with patients with osteoarthritis. We've got good data. The other two biggies that I look at are MobiFlex Advanced, which is a multi-supplement. And what I love about it is it has different ingredients in it that really target all of those things that I mentioned earlier. So it's got anti-inflammatory effects with the Boswellia and the eggshell membrane. And we have good data about both of those products, how they can reduce inflammation. And the eggshell membrane also helps to kind of provide some of the building blocks when it comes to cartilage, maintaining cartilage health. And then I really care about, as our patients age, I care about things like their bone strength and bone health. So MobiFlex has vitamin D in it. And we know in humans that have vitamin D deficiency, they have like a 3 times higher risk of developing osteoarthritis of their knees. And so I think that's another thing that we need to focus on is vitamin D and how does that contribute to the prevalence of osteoarthritis in our patients. And so I really appreciate that Virbac looked at adding that to their supplement. It also has krill, which is a source of omega-3s, and it has hyaluronic acid. It's got low and high molecular weight hyaluronic acid. And, that's a compound that I use a lot in joint injections. And there's been kind of this thought that oral hyaluronic acid really doesn't have much bioavailability, so it doesn't necessarily get to the joint. But the product that Virbac uses actually has a special fermentation process that makes it much more bioavailable. And it also, they have data to show that it gets to the joint. So I think that's really makes me feel good that that product is going to do what it says it's going to do. The other thing that I really, really like about all of Virbac's products is that they have the NASC seal, which is a third party organization that looks at quality control for are supplements that are out there. And I think that's really important because I want to know that what's on the label is in the bottle and that what's in the bottle has been proven to be safe for my patients. And then you take that plus scientific evidence that, that product in the patient that I'm treating with the condition I'm treating for works. That to me is super, super important.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. And I think it's such a great way to take more of a proactive approach and a reactive approach, not just for seniors, but from all of our dogs as they're getting older. And we're talking about joint support. So everything you mentioned is fantastic with that. Now, I know we talked earlier about muscle support. So let's kind of go a little bit further on that area as well. We've had tools for joint health, but what about muscle health? What's new in the science of supporting skeletal muscle in our aging pets?
Something so exciting, honestly, because this has been a concern I've had for my patients for a long time. How do I help build the muscle? And exercise and appropriate protein are really great ways, but some of my patients were still struggling. And what is new in the world of mobility is this product called Ursolix, which is a daily chewable supplement from Virbac that has been shown to improve muscle mass in our patients. And specifically, it's really interesting. It works at the genetic level. It suppresses these pro-atrophy mRNA sequences that happen to just go up as patients get older. These pro-atrophy sequences are elevated as our patients age, and Ursolix has been shown to come in and inhibit those. And not only that, Ursolix has also been shown to upregulate insulin growth hormones and insulin itself so that it can improve kind of the metabolism of the muscle. And that the two of those things working together, clinically, what I'm seeing in my patients is that they are maintaining muscle mass, they are gaining muscle mass, and in patients that really I wouldn't have even expected to gain muscle mass, especially as quickly as they get it. I mean, I don't want to say this is like a steroid that's going to pump you up like, Hans and Franz, if you get that reference, but it definitely helps these patients maintain and improve along with the other things that I recommend. And what I love about it is that it has that NASC seal that I mentioned earlier. The patients love it. It has a huge, very high palatability rate, and it's been proven to be safe. We've got safety and efficacy studies. And we also have a clinical study looking at how this product, one, it has been proven to reduce those pro-atrophy mRNA sequences, but also it's been shown to improve the dog's willingness to exercise, which I think is super important because a lot of us have older patients who just kind of give up, right? Like they don't want to go for that long of a walk, and they might just kind of sit and not participate. And this product has been shown in this study to improve the dog's desire to exercise, but also improve the dog's speed when doing a particular exercise, which I think is really important because we know in older people, as well as older pets, that walking speed slows. And so if we have something that will help encourage them to exercise and improve their speed, maintain muscle mass, that is one of the big ways that we can kind of get in front of that domino effect of losing muscle mass.
And this is a new category, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. This is what I love about veterinary medicine, the advancement and all the research that comes out. It's fantastic.
Right.
Now, I know that a lot of listeners, because we get messages about this, what about cats? So, how should veterinarians be thinking differently about our furry kitty friends with mobility for them?
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of the same things apply. Cats are just a little bit trickier because behaviorally they're not as outgoing sometimes as the dogs, but the same things apply. I mean, when you have a patient coming in for their annual visit, you should ask some kind of open-ended questions and finding out, what's their activity like? Are they still as playful? Are they having any changes in maybe their jumping habits? So, if you've got a cat that used to be able to jump up on the kitchen counter and they've stopped doing that, maybe you were happy that they've stopped doing that, but that could be an indicator that that patient is having mobility issues or pain. Sleeping changes or litter box habits. I think that's a big one to watch. You know, if the pet is starting to have accidents outside the litter box, it may be that box is the sides are too high and the pet is having trouble getting up and into the litter box. The same thing about watching your feline patients moving around the exam room to see if you can pick up on mobility challenges. I know, again, that can be hard because the kitties are sometimes nervous and they just want to hang out in their carriers. But encouraging them to walk around, maybe throw in treats here and there to get them to move around is helpful. Again, the videos are good. Like you mentioned earlier, we might be able to see more in a home video to identify movement problems. But also looking at their diet, making sure that it has enough protein, and talking to clients about looking at those litter boxes. Maybe we need to have a low-sided litter box, or have ramps even for the kitties might be a good intervention. And then I'm really excited to tell you that Virbac also has your Solix now for cats. So we have a muscle supplement for cats, which is awesome. We've got the product just came out just this year in January of this year, and there was a trial amongst veterinary professionals with their own personal cats looking at palatability and mobility, and that nationwide trial showed that in cats, 82% of them had improved mobility by day 60, which is fantastic. And this is, again, it's a safe supplement that we can give to our cats. And I'll tell you, my two cats were in this nationwide trial and they absolutely loved the product. I'm always skeptical about getting cats to eat something different, because they're so particular about what they're eating and the shape and the size of the kibble and, how it tastes. They can be so finicky. But my personal cats loved it and ate it before they ate their foods. So I can attest to that.
First-hand experience right there.
Yes.
Okay, so as we're wrapping up, we're kind of bridging that gap that we're hearing about between joint support and muscle support as, complementary pillars. And we're talking about Movaflex as a great Movaflex Advance and your Solix as a comprehensive solution, which is great now that we have some of these great products to use for our patients. And so for veterinarians who are listening and tuning in, and we want to take a more proactive, comprehensive approach to mobility, what does it look like in practice when you're addressing both the joint health and muscle health together? And how has having tools both changed the way you manage these patients?
Well, I think that there's this thought of all or, we can only choose one. And you just need to wipe that out of your mind. You need to tell the client, you need to be the advocate for the patient that this is a multifaceted issue which requires multiple approach to treatment. And so it's not just one supplement is going to take care of everything. So we need to talk about joint health. And in my practice, I recommend Movaflex Advanced for joint support, along with other things like weight loss and appropriate pain management, just like you would do in any practice. But we also need to talk about the muscle and how important that is for their overall health and for the joint health. If you're just controlling inflammation and pain in the joint, but you're not improving the strength of the muscles and the tissues that also support that joint, you're missing half of the picture. So we've got to do a better job of being very complete with our recommendations. And it's What we want to do is also be proactive. We don't want to wait until our patients are in a lot of pain and we're kind of behind the curve. We want to be right out in front of it. And that looks like, realizing that arthritis is present in 40% of dogs under the age of 4. So don't wait until they're senior dogs to start talking about this. It's already there. And asking those questions about what does your dog need to do every day? How can I help your dog do its job every day? And how can I expand and extend your pet's quality of life and health span so that they can, be a happy member of your family for as long as possible. And it's part of it is just not being afraid to really step up and be that pet's advocate.
The social media lover in me is thinking my wheels are spinning because what a great educational piece this could be to talk about muscle health. We tend to know a little bit more about osteoarthritis and, mobility, but adding that component in, Those of you tuning in, like if you want to look at differentiators to separate you from the social media space, like talk about a comprehensive approach to taking care of your patients by including that in your social media with a call to action to schedule a visit now for us to chat more or provide some information on your Solix so they know what that looks like and that you recommend it. You know, because so many of my clients will come into the exam room and show me something off the phone, and I don't know if there's science behind it or whatever it is. But when we have something like this, I think it's great to, embrace it, right?
Yes, I agree. And we have science behind it. And we have, folks who've been using your Solix has been out for over a year. And we have clinical, experience with it now. And we can tell clients confidently that it does help many, many, many patients. And if we're looking at ways in all the ways that we can improve our patients' quality of life, I mean, this is something we can't ignore.
No, we can't ignore. We can't ignore it at all. Well, Dr. Amstutz, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. So good.
Thank you so much for
And
having me. It's been awesome.
oh, our pleasure. A little birdie tells me I think we might have you again on the show. So we're looking forward to that. So listeners, you got to stay tuned because we will be having her and some of her colleagues on for another podcast. If you'd like to learn more about what we were just talking about, go ahead and visit the Virbac's website at www.vet-us.virbac.com. We'll put this in the show notes as well so you can get ahead of that. Or you could just chat with your local Virbac representative to learn more about the Keep Moving portfolio. We want to thank Virbac again for sponsoring this great conversation, and we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Just keep moving, keep your patients moving, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.